On the back side of the worship guide for tonight, you will notice this week's installment of our catechism. Again, by now it should be no stranger to us, but we're following the doctrines systematically laid out in the Heidelberg Catechism, and it's a series of questions and answers. And each week there are one to several questions which continue to teach us aspects of the basics of our faith. And last week, the question was essentially, what do we confess? What do we mean when we say the creedal statement, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? That's the Apostles' Creed, line 1. What do we mean by that? And we talked about how we mean that God is our Father, that He cares for us, that He provides for us, and that He works all things out. He governs creation. And we call this providence. And it's providence that we want to look at tonight. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Just one verse tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Page 153 if you're using a pew Bible there. Hear the word of God. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Would you pray with me? Lord, tonight as we briefly consider your watch care over your creation, we ask that you would cause us to rest more fully in Thee. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Lord's Day 10, week 10 in the week of 52 that we're following in 2018. The question, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 speaks to, is really God's providence. But the question of the catechism, number 27, says this: what do you understand by the providence of God? What do you mean when you say that? What is providence? Here's the answer. The almighty, everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were by His hand, He still upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty. Yes, all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. So when we say that God is a God of providence, we're saying something specific about our God that many other people would not say about God. For instance, the God of the 1700s and the Enlightenment movement, the God of deism, says that God created all things and then He stepped back and is no longer involved in creation. So we neither should blame God when things go wrong, nor should we pray to God or really consider that God is all that interested in our everyday affairs. But this is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is the God who makes all things out of nothing and then continues to direct and care for all things. In fact, we could say, if we wanted to meditate on this for a while, that God is doing a billion things every second, of which we are aware maybe of two or three. God is continuing to govern all of creation, and the Catechism speaks so beautifully about the difference, doesn't it? He upholds heaven and earth. Herbs and grass, rain and drought, good years, fruitful years, barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, all things come not by chance, but by our God, who is our Father. We see a little bit of God's providential guidance in Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. For as we read it a moment ago, God makes a promise, doesn't He? He says to the old covenant people, you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He's given you. Here is what is going to come about. And when it comes about, you are going to bless me, for I'm the one who has provided it for you. I'm the one making the promise to you, and I'm the one that's providentially guiding you until you reach this land. Just by way of getting context, look at the first few verses of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. The whole commandment, verse 1, that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give your fathers. You remember God made a promise to Abraham and sealed it by the covenant of circumcision, that he would be the father of many nations and that he would take his people into a land. Verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In other words, there are going to be, and there have been, troubling times, but it's God's hand out of which these times come. Verse 4, your clothing did not wear out on you and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Why was that, O Israel? It's because I provided for you. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. In other words, this place is going to have everything that you need in abundance and things that you don't need but that you get to enjoy in abundance. Verse 9, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It's in this context that we get to our verse. God says, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. God promising provision through his providence. Notice our brief verse tonight. Let's see three things there. Look at number one, provision. God says this, and you shall eat and be full. In the previous verses that come before verse 10, God has reminded them of their story, of what it was like, that their clothes did not wear out, that they knew hunger and yet they were fed, that they knew thirst and yet they were given drink. And all of this was from God's hand. God has provided. And notice at the end of verse 10, he says, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land, quote, that he has given you. Now, we like verses like this. I like verses like this because they remind me that God is going to provide me with what I want and what I need. But there are going to be times, even in this passage we see it, where it seems as though we're not getting the fruitful years, but we're getting the barren years. We're not getting the table full of food, we're getting the situations of hunger. He even discusses how sometimes these things are things that God does to humble us, to test us, to see what is in our heart, and to provide for us in ways that we can attribute only to his provision. Where are you today? When we talk about providence, maybe you're in a season where you are hanging on every day, wondering where provision is going to come from. How is God going to provide? Notice what he says. You are going to come into this land. You are going to eat and be full. And it is a land that I have given you. God is a God of provision. Do you believe that God will provide you with everything that you need? He says that he will. The problem is we often interpret what we need and what we want in kind of mixed ways. God says you needed to be humbled, you needed to be tested, so that's what you needed, that's what I gave. But sometimes we don't want what we really need, do we? You see, at the end of this passage in verse 10, God says, I'm getting you to this land, and all the while I'm providing for you exactly what you need. See, God knows what we need better than we ever will know what we need. How many of us could say, there have been trials that I've gone through. There have been seasons of drought that I've gone through. And now I can look back and see the lessons that God birthed and formed within me through those provisions. Because hunger as well as abundance of food are both from the hand of the Lord. So the first thing we see is provision. The second thing we see, however, is promise, don't we? Look at verse 10 again. We see promise. You shall eat and be full. You shall eat and be full. The Lord reveals that His people will receive what He has promised. Regardless of what they go through, He will not fail them. He's reminded them in this text, I made a promise. I made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that there would be a land that he would live in, that he would have a kingdom of people out of which the truest king of all would come. And I will do it, for I'm the God of promise. And yet, if you trace what has happened just in the first five books of the Bible leading up to this verse, you begin to wonder, is God really going to do what He said He's going to do? I mean, He's having to work with stiff-necked people, as we saw this morning. It seems that at every turn that people don't want to obey Him. Can God really come through? Is God really trustworthy? And yet, here at the end of our verse tonight, He says to the people of God in their original context, you will eat and be full. He says the same thing to us. Different context, different phrasing. But God tells you and I that we will not know the wrath of God. That we will indeed inherit the kingdom of heaven. That He will indeed bring us safely home. That there will be nothing that can separate us from His love in Christ Jesus. That there will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That whether we are awake or asleep, we will be with Him. He has promised us that He will take us to heaven, that the moment that we are asleep, our souls will be with Christ, and on and on and on the promises to us go. But do we believe His promise? We've seen His provision in the past, and we've seen that He's promised provision in the future, but do we trust Him because of who He is? The God who promises. You shall eat and be full. And you shall bless the Lord, your God, for the good land He is giving you. We see provision. We see promise. But then thirdly, we see providence. Providence. That's our focus for tonight. God's continued guidance and care over all things. Look back at the previous verses just one more time. Verse 2. You shall remember that the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Have you had a period of wilderness wandering wherein the provision that you received could only be explained by God? Maybe you came to Christ at a young age and you could say, there's no reason why I should have come to Christ when I did except by His hand. Maybe you've just come to Christ and you are already well into the latter years of your life. You can look back on all of the time when you did not know Christ, and yet God in His providence worked all things thus that you would hear the word of Christ through the Spirit in your heart and come to faith. that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you hunger. We could spend hours here, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. God let his people know hunger. Their hunger was not a lack of God's provision. Their hunger was God's provision. Then notice what he says. He let you hunger and fed you with manna. See, we often like to think perhaps that in the Christian life, when things aren't going well, when we're suffering, when we're going through trials, that God is not providing, and that one day he'll provide. He'll open the storerooms of heaven and provide once again. Because only good experiences come from God. Negative experiences are those things which God sort of just lets us go through. But God's providence is God giving us everything that we need at every moment. He let them hunger and fed them with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. We can't camp out here tonight, but if we could, I would just ask us to meditate on this. Is greater knowledge of our God and his word and his promises worth our physical trials? If you knew that suffering was going to come, but out of that suffering was going to produce a greater knowledge of God's word, God's promise, and your ability to trust him, would you want to go through it? I'm assuming for most of us the answer is, I want to say that I wish that I could, but I don't know that I have the strength to say that. Why did he let them know hunger? Well, he says, because the best thing for you is that when I speak, you listen. Verse 4, lest we think that God only brought trial in this journey. Look at verse 4. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Some of you could attest to your own experience of Deuteronomy 8:4, where by all human accounts, by all calculations, there's no way that things should have worked out the way that they did. And we begin to ask ourselves, how is it that these things were done? How is it that God provided this job, or God provided this check when we needed it, or God provided this meal when we didn't know where it was going to come from, or God provided this church when we weren't even looking for it, or God provided this or that or this or that? And we begin to try to find natural reasons to put things together. But who is it, boys and girls, that every second of every day gives us what we need and keeps us on the path that he has for us? It's God. Your clothing did not wear out on you. Your foot did not swell. For how long? 40 years. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. Verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. God's not playing games with his people. God's not saying, I'm going to watch what happens when, oh, you're hungry, and now I'll feed you, and I'll just enjoy kind of moving you around and watching you suffer. All of this is moving towards the accomplishment of God's promise. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. So all of the details that happen to you along the way, the good, the bad, the suffering, the plenty, the want, the drought, the rain, all of it is about God getting glory and your good being accomplished. That sounds like Romans 8, doesn't it? For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And then he begins to list the things in this land which makes the hunger of the wilderness wandering sound like a distant memory, a land of brooks of water. Lord, we just wanted a cup, but you're taking us to brooks of water, of fountains, of springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley. Lord, we were eating manna day after day, week after week, season after season, and now you're giving us a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and on it goes. A land of olive trees and honey. Lest we think that the temporary sufferings that we know according to God's providence are God's final word. Don't forget, in God's promise, He is providentially taking us to a land that we can yet imagine. So through trials, through periods of humbling, through periods of testing, God is calling us and fashioning in us, by His providence, a resting in His Word. And as He leads us by His Word, day by day, week by week, year by year, we grow in trusting Him. For this is the God who is taking us into a good land. And so notice what it says, verse 10. You shall eat and be full. While you're barren, while there's no rain, while there's a drought, keep looking, because I'm taking you to a land of plenty. While you're hurting, while you're wondering where things are going to come from, keep on pressing in, because I'm taking you to a land that is full. In fact, not only am I taking you to a land, but here's what your response is going to be. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God. God is saying, I'm going to providentially guide you, and when you end up there, you are going to bless me. You're going to praise me. You're going to exalt in me. You're going to exalt in me. For the good land is a land that I have given you. So tonight, maybe you are in a season where you feel like you are in the good land already. You know you're not in heaven, but things are going so well. Plenty of money in the bank, plenty of food in the fridge, relationships couldn't be better. Every one of your children or grandchildren seems to be walking with Christ. You're in a great place. God's providentially at work. Some of those ways you can see, and many of them you can't. However, some of you tonight might be in a place where you're thinking, yes, I feel like I'm wandering in the wilderness. I'm tired of manna. I'm wondering moment by moment if my feet will swell and my clothes will wear out. I know hunger, maybe not literally, but I know the hunger of an aching soul. And God is also providentially at work. The Catechism gets it right. All things, good or bad, come from God's fatherly hand. But the next question as we close is important for us. Question 28 of the Heidelberg. What does it profit us to know that God has created and by His providence still upholds all things? Okay, is this just a doctrinal exercise? We can learn one more Christian definition, right? Justification, sanctification, glorification. Now we can add providence to it. Why does it matter? And here's the answer. Knowing about God's providence and trusting that all things come from His fatherly hand are important and to our profit because, quote, we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for what is future, have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that no creature shall separate us from His love. Since all creatures are so in His hand that without His will they cannot so much as move. You got plenty of food in the fridge, plenty of money in the bank, everybody that you know walking with Christ, things are a mountaintop for you day in and day out. then you have a lot of thanksgiving to voice to God. But maybe you're in adversity, there's no food in the fridge, there's no money in the bank, and it seems as though you're the only one seeking to live for the Lord and your whole extended family. In many ways, life could not get more depressing for you. Then humbly, let me encourage you, be patient in adversity. For the Lord is forming in His children the fruit of His promises to them. And I know that this sounds almost unbelievable, but tomorrow, the next day, the next year, or at least 60 to 70 years from now, it will not be long, God is going to turn your faith into sight. And you will no longer need to walk wondering how God's going to provide. You will be present with Christ. And it's this land that He's taking you to. You shall eat and be full, Grace Baptist Chapel. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He will give to you. He'll provide it. He's promised it. And there is not a single second of your life over which He is not providentially arranging the accomplishment of His promise. To us, but specifically to you as an individual. Let's pray. Almighty God.